All right, it's working just fine. Awesome, I'm feeling good about this, and I have a backup right there just in case we need it. Can we just give a round of applause to those who are hustling, trying to get that thing figured out a second ago? Oh, man. I know that that can, you know, at APU, I'm Dean of Spiritual Life at APU, and that could, you feel it when you're in the moment and you got to fix something right on the spot, and they went back there, cool as cucumbers, and got it together for us so that we can have amplification. But it's great to be with you all again. My name is Koba Canales. I have been on staff at APU going on my 9th year in campus ministry and have really enjoyed and appreciated the relationship that I personally have had with many of you, the members of Glenkirk Church, as well as the way in which this church has been supportive to us as a university, specifically through our mentoring program, which was one of the discipleship areas that I oversaw over the last 5 years. And man, I think the largest segment of our mentor pool came from this church. So again, thank you for supporting APU students and the community of APU in that way. And it is an honor to be with you all this morning to be able to share and to talk a little bit about something that we're going to be studying at APU over the course of the year. Every year at Azusa Pacific, we have something that's called a university passage, which is a section of scripture that we decide to focus on over the course of the year in different chapels. And this year's focus is on John chapter 14. So I did want to look at some verses in John chapter 14, which we will do here in a moment. But before we get there, the title for this morning, as you've seen that in your bulletin, is not feeling ready, or another way of saying it is ready or not. And I'm feeling that personally because in just a few days, we're going to be having first-time freshmen, transfers, and those who are coming to APU for the very first time showing up on our campus on Friday. And over the course of the summer and all last year, my team and many of our staff have been praying and preparing and discussing and getting ready for the year to happen. And many of us would probably say we could use another week, or maybe we could use another month, or maybe we could use another year of preparation and preparing, planning, and thinking. But ready or not, here they come. And just like we're getting ready for that, many of you are in places in your own life where you are going from one season to another, one reality to another, whatever that may look like. That could be in the home of moving from one. I was speaking to a few families in between services this morning, and they were sharing how for the first time they're not going to have any children in the home this coming year, and they're getting ready for that new season. For others, it might be preparing for retirement or preparing for a new position at work or preparing for different seasons, maybe even some who are getting ready for marriage and what that looks like. But all of us are in one place getting ready for the next, and oftentimes that moment can be quite scary. And we're in good company because Jesus' disciples felt that very same way in John chapter 14. I feel that way also in my own family. I have 3 children, and my oldest is getting ready for first grade, and he's going to a brand new school. And I remember last year when he went to kindergarten, and I took him, I was expecting for him to be afraid of a new huge school, trying to make friends, and who do I sit with at lunch? And I'm getting ready for him to cry as I walk him into class, and I walk him onto campus, and he just lets go of my hand. Bye, Dad. Love you. See you later. And then I'm wiping tears from my eyes as he runs off, you know, joyfully ready for the year. So I don't know how first grade is going to be for him, but I'm assuming that whether it's him or me, both of us are going to be going through some growing pains in this transition as we get ready. And as Tim mentioned, many are back in school already. Others have already started this past week or getting ready to start. And, you know, I get a little bit jealous, a little envious of those who go back to school shopping, because as a kid, I grew up as the youngest of 3 boys, and my parents are pastors in ministry, so back to school shopping meant looking at their closets to figure out what was going to be mine that coming year. And I can remember my mom, you know, saying, hey, look at these shoes. They're looking pretty good. You know, Dave barely wore them. They're going to look good on you this year in school. And I'm like, Mom, but they're a size 9. I wear a size 6. How's that going to work? And so she's like, you know, put on 3 pairs of socks or something. But we're right in that season, and we're getting ready for that and learning how to do different things. It also reminds me of this past year. As I mentioned, my son has been doing a lot of firsts, and what we learned to do over the last year was ride a bike without training wheels. Anybody remember teaching your children how to ride a bike without training wheels and going through that? And I remember the day that we got ready for it. I pulled his little Spider-Man bike out of the garage, And I turned it upside down, and I get the wrench out, and I'm starting to take off the training wheels. And I remember him running outside like, all right, we're going on a bike ride, but what are you doing to my bike, right? And I said, well, I'm taking off these training wheels. And he goes, well, you're messing up my bike, Dad. I'm like, no. These were not meant to stay on your bike. These were just meant to teach you how to get the motion down, and eventually they were always going to come off. He said, Dad, what if I fall while I'm trying to ride my bike without training wheels? And my fatherly, loving, parental, you know, response was, you will fall. You're going to fall a number of times. I bet you he was hoping that I would say something like, I'm going to catch you, or, you know, something more caring. But my dad was kind of tough on me, so I said, yeah, you're going to fall, but you're going to learn how to get back up. And eventually you're going to learn how to ride this bike without training wheels. So we get out there and we start practicing, and I'm holding him as he gets going, and you know, his words are, Dad, this feels too wibbly wobbly. This doesn't feel right. But ultimately, after you know, a few practices, you know, I was surprised by the second time we took that bike out without training wheels. There he was riding his bike, and the look on his face when he was so proud of the fact that he had done that was something that reminded me, even though he was scared of taking off the training wheels, I, as his dad, wanted to see him challenge himself in some ways to take a step of faith to try this thing, even though he wasn't sure he could do it. And as you think about what season of life you may be in right now, there might be things that cause you to be afraid or scared of this next step. Maybe there's something God's been putting on your heart to prepare you for this next season, but you're not sure. You might be saying, Lord, that sounds great, but not yet. How about give me like 6 more months and then I'll be ready to say yes. Give me another year. Give me another 5 years. Wait until all these different things happen and line up and then I'll be ready. But I often find that as we are entering into these various spaces, God is typically calling us into a new season whether or not we feel ready for it, whether or not we feel prepared, whether or not we feel equipped. And so John chapter 14 really is one of these moments. Go ahead and turn there if you have a Bible in front of you, and I'm going to read a few verses from that chapter. And I'll start off in verse 1 of John chapter 14, and it reads this way. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. And as we look at that first verse of Jesus encouraging his disciples and telling them, don't let your hearts be troubled, we know that when we read Scripture, it is obvious that he is sensing from them that their hearts are troubled. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said that. And as he notices that their hearts are a bit troubled, he wants to encourage them and tell them, don't let your hearts be troubled. And this verse that says, trust in God, trust also in me, is interesting because there are certain versions that might say, believe in God, believe also in me. I think that could sometimes be misleading because when we talk about belief in, that can mean a few different things. Sometimes that could mean when we say we believe in something, that could mean that we are saying that that is the correct thing to believe in. Or we might say that we believe someone is capable. If I say, I believe in you, what I'm trying to say is, I believe you're able to do that. But what Jesus is saying to his disciples here is trust. The word pistuete in Greek, it means both to believe, trust, and to have faith. Jesus is saying to his disciples, just like you have faith in God, have faith in me as well. Trust in me also. And this is so significant because chapter 14 is the beginning of an extended few chapters in the Gospel of John called a farewell discourse. And Jesus is telling his disciples, essentially, I'm getting ready to leave. And what the disciples are saying to Jesus over and over again is, we're not ready. No, Jesus, not yet. It's only been 3 years. Think about it. See, when I was a kid growing up reading these passages, I thought 3 years was a really long time. And now when I hear the word 3 years, I'm thinking to myself, Jesus, you could have at least gone like 5 with them, right? Let them feel a little bit confident in what you're calling them to do. But Jesus says, it's my time, and it's your time to step into what I'm calling you to. They have questions. They have doubts. Thomas says a few things in this passage in chapter 14 because they're not yet ready for Jesus to leave them. They're not yet ready to take off the training wheels. They want Jesus to stick around a little longer. But it reminds me that when we look at the stories of Jesus and his discipleship process, the way that he apprenticed those around him, Jesus never intended to create fans. He never intended to create followers and spectators and those who could watch him and be amazed by what he does. Jesus was always trying to prepare them to do the work of the kingdom of God. And so in a lot of ways, it is connected somewhat to an academic setting when I think about the way Jesus taught and discipled those who followed him. It was a lecture, a lab, and a practicum. Right? Jesus would teach them, he would preach, he would explain theory and what the kingdom of God really is all about. And the next thing you know, it would be lab. Jesus would be doing miracles and he would go out and he would be healing the sick and he would watch them and sometimes give them an opportunity to participate in that great work. And then here comes the practicum, go out. He would send them out two by two. He called the 72 and he said, now it's your turn. You've been seeing me preach the gospel, you go preach the gospel. You've been seeing me heal the sick, you go and heal the sick. You've been seeing me participate in these things. Now you too, disciples, get a chance to go and participate in the work of God. And yet, like us, the disciples said, well, not yet. Not yet. That sounds good, Jesus. We're on that track, but we're only juniors. We're not ready yet. We haven't yet graduated from your school. And Jesus is saying, even though you don't feel ready, I'm calling you to this. I'm calling you to this. In my own life, there are a couple moments where I have felt unprepared for the thing that God was calling me to or preparing me for. One of them was all the way back as a college student. I went from Los Angeles, where I grew up, city called Carson, all the way to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to a school called University of Pennsylvania. I was there on a football scholarship and planning to study engineering. And I had my life laid out in front of me as an 18-year-old. It was a really cool plan. I wish I could show it to you. I mean, it was detailed, right? And part of that plan was, even though I had always had a call to ministry in my heart ever since I was young, my response to God was, cool, but not yet. Thanks, Lord. Sounds good, but let's wait a little bit. So my plan was, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to graduate, I'm going to get a good job, I'm going to make sure that my family and everybody is nice and set, and then, you know, when I'm really old, like 40, you know, which at 18, that did feel old, and now it doesn't feel very old. I thought to myself, when that takes place, then I'll go and I'll become a pastor, or I'll serve more in my home church, and I'll do more for the kingdom of God. But first I have to do all these different things, and then I'll be ready to go, you know, a little bit later on in life. And I remember praying about my major, praying about where I was, and I felt a soft voice, the Holy Spirit, speak to me in my dorm room as an 18-year-old on the other side of the country, simply say, why are you waiting? Why not say yes now? And it was in that moment that I started to think and pray. And after a year of being there, I decided to transfer to APU, where I could study Bible and get ready for ministry. So I said yes to God, even though I didn't feel like it was the right timing. And I'm so glad that I did. And then a little bit later, I graduated from APU, went to my home church, and I decided to take a year away from school. I wanted to go to seminary, but I wanted to get some ministry practical experience for that 1 year. I didn't know they called it that, but back then I didn't know it was called a gap year, but apparently that's what it was called. So I did this, and I jumped into my home church, and my prayer to God in church that year was simply this: Lord, however you want to use me to be a blessing to this church, I'm available to you for this year. After that, it's off. No, I'm just kidding. But for that 1 year, I just said, I'm all in, whatever it is. And I remember praying, and I did feel a prompting at one point where I felt like God said on a Sunday, I want you to just watch all the services. We have 3 services as well at our church. And I want you to count how many people between the age of 18 and 25 you see in your church. And I remember like, oh, that's an interesting task. So I did that, right? And I got out my journal, and I'm getting ready to like write down people that look like they're between 18 and 25. And out of a church of about 2,000 people total between 3 services, I counted about 10. And then it was almost like a self-explanatory message from God that was saying, okay, there you go, there's your ministry. So I said, okay, I don't know what to do with that. So I started to pray and work on something. I developed a ministry proposal for a college and young adult ministry for our church, right? And I even had a job description for the person that could lead this ministry. I was 23 years old. I wrote this job description. I'm like, man, I would love for the pastor of this ministry to be somebody who's married with children, you know, somebody who can like really relate to young people and with hopefully with some theological education, a call to ministry. And I had this laid out plan with a ministry proposal and a job description. I submitted it to the church board. I even had a job description for myself, which was to help that other person. And the board said, this looks good. We would love to see something like this happen, but we don't have the resources for it, and there's nobody that matches that description, so you're it. And I remember thinking to myself, not yet. I'm not ready. But after prayer, I finally said yes, and honestly, it's from that trajectory on that the Lord continued to guide me to college ministry because of moments like that, of simply saying yes, even when I wasn't sure if I should say yes. And then a couple years after that, my father's a senior pastor of our church, and I was learning in ministry and helping in various ways, all of a sudden became very ill thought he had the flu, but ultimately was hospitalized during that season. I remember the night before he went into the hospital, he was preparing to preach 3 sermons the following Sunday and hoping that he felt better by the next morning. And of course, he didn't feel any better. And I went, and because my wife and I were living with him at the time. We don't live with him anymore, so this is good news for those of you. They will move out, okay? And we did move out, but thank God we were there in the house. I went upstairs, and Dad, how you feeling? And my dad said, I'm not feeling that great, and in fact, I'm probably going to go to the emergency room soon. And he goes, but I don't know who else is going to preach. And I said, I don't know either. Finally we decided that I would give it a shot. And he had notes already prepared for the following day in his church office. And so I went and spent about 3 hours late that night till about 2 a.m. Preparing for sermons for the next day. And the rest of that year, when my dad went into surgery, the doctor said he had a 1% chance to live. And miraculously, he made it through that surgery by God's grace. And I remember in that moment feeling unprepared to step into a senior pastor role as a 25-year-old. I remember feeling unprepared to lose my dad. I remember feeling unprepared to life without his mentorship and guidance and encouragement that I've always benefited from. I remember falling on my face in the waiting room of the emergency. I know how disgusting that sounds. But at that point, it didn't matter because I was desperate. I remember looking to God saying, Lord, I'm not ready. Lord, I'm not ready. And through all those different experiences of not feeling ready, but simply saying, Lord, even if I don't feel ready, I'm going to try to trust you. I want to just share with you this morning that what God has taught me in these various seasons of not feeling ready is that I could rely upon God, especially when I feel like I'm incapable, especially when I feel like I don't have what it takes, especially when I feel like I'm unqualified, especially when I feel like I just need a little bit more time. But when I say yes to God, when you say yes to God, I believe that you will experience something where the Lord will meet you where you are and provide for you the very thing that you need. So the first thing I want to leave with you as a result of these things that I've learned is, number one, trust in God like your life depends on it, because it does. Trust in God. What's that thing right now that's right in front of you that's testing whether or not you are ready to fully trust God with this season? See, oftentimes we want things to be comfortable. We want things to be convenient. We want things to be on our schedule and according to our plans. But sometimes God says, hey, ready or not, here I come, and I want you to say yes to me. What is that thing? I know that next week there's a ministry fair that's going to be happening here, and you're going to be learning about different ways to be involved. Maybe God's putting something in your heart about how he's preparing you for something that you don't feel ready for. Well, guess what? God needs those gifts to be used in the kingdom of God. Maybe this is a season of saying yes and practicing that faith. Trusting in God like your life depends on it, because it does. The second thing is, I realize that looking through this scripture and many others all throughout the Bible, that very rarely does God call those who feel ready. Very rarely does God call somebody who's like, yeah, let's do it, bring it on. I've just been waiting for you to ask. No, we look at Moses, he didn't feel ready. And he had excuse after excuse as to why he should not respond to God's call in his life. Look at Joshua, he didn't want to follow Moses' footsteps. He didn't feel ready, but God promised him and said, just like I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I'll be with you wherever you go. Be strong and courageous, God said to Joshua. God talked to Gideon, one who was hiding and afraid in the middle of a time when Israel did not have their own national or spiritual confidence, but the Lord spoke to him even though he felt unprepared and got him ready to say yes. David even was the least likely person to be a king of Israel. Esther was called to a job that seemed too big for her to accept, even though she trusted in God and said yes. Isaiah, the prophet, said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And God met him where he was in his feeling of inadequacy to prepare him for the work that God had for him. I even think of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who humbly said yes when God said, you're going to carry Jesus. So many stories throughout Scripture are filled with those who did not feel ready for that thing that God was calling them to. Many of you might not feel just ready for whatever it may be. Maybe for the school year, maybe for a new position, maybe for a new phase in a relationship, maybe for a new ministry that God might be preparing for you. But the Lord gives us an invitation to say, trust me in this. Jesus said to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. You trust God, trust me too. I'm preparing you. I have to leave. And as I leave, I'm preparing you for what you are going to be called to do. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, that says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I love that verse that Jesus speaks to Paul. My power is made perfect in weakness. God's power is not perfected when we have all the answers. God's power is not perfected when we feel the most prepared. God's power is perfected in our weakness. When we simply say, yes, Lord, even though I'm a little bit scared. Yes, Lord, even though I still have a few doubts. Yes, Lord, even though I'm not too sure how this is going to work out. And we say yes to God. The third thing is this. Every single one of us in here have a ministry that God has called us to. A misconception in the church today is that pastors do ministry. Ephesians 4 teaches us that pastors equip the body of Christ for the work of ministry. So every single person who has confessed faith in Christ is called to do something for God. Nobody should do everything, but everybody should do something. So I encourage you to pray about that and think about that. What is that thing, God, that you are preparing me for in this next season? God has something for you, a specific way that he wants to utilize you in your life in this season. The last thing I want to share is this. When we say yes to God, even when we're unsure, we experience transformation that wouldn't have been possible otherwise. When we say yes to God, even when we're unsure, we experience transformation in our own lives in ways that would not be possible if we say no, not yet, or maybe. So I want to encourage you, what is that thing that God might be calling you to? I want to encourage you to pray about that so that you can say, yes, Lord, I'm going to take a step of faith here. Yes, God, I believe that you are with me in this next season. I want to encourage you to do that just as I continue to practice trying to do that myself as well. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, we thank you for your word, which constantly reminds us of your presence, of your calling over our lives. Lord, we thank you that even though, like the disciples, we sometimes have fear, our hearts are troubled, we're a little hesitant, we're a little nervous, we're not too sure how or where we fit in, we thank you that you have created a place and an invitation for us to be part of your work when we say yes to you. And Lord, I pray that you would prepare this church, this body, every single one, from the youngest to the eldest, Lord, to be ready to respond by simply saying, yes, Lord, use me in this season. Yes, Lord, I trust you in this season of whatever new things might be coming. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us, guide us, and remind us that we can trust you even in these spaces. In Christ's name, amen.